Chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to be reading just the first 15 verses of this chapter. Second Corinthians 8, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, and there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, in our study of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, we have come to the second main section of this letter. The first seven chapters, Paul has been dealing with a defense of his apostleship and his concern to comfort the Corinthian church. He'll return to some of those themes in the third section of this letter. But tonight we enter the second section, which is just chapters 8 and 9. And this second section deals with the giving of God's people. What had been going on was apparently the churches in Jerusalem were experiencing difficulty financially. And other churches were giving to help them out of their need. And Corinth did as well. And Paul wants to encourage them in this act of love, this act of service toward others, and he wants to encourage them to continue in that act, the grace of giving. It was a good reminder for that church, and it's a good reminder for us as well. It's good for us to be reminded about the proper practices of piety, to be reminded of the necessity of prayer, the necessity of Bible reading, the necessity of sharing what we have with others. Good reminders for us in our walk with the Lord, to be encouraged in giving. giving which he describes in this chapter as an act of grace. Giving is part of our walk with God. Our giving, our finances are connected to our spiritual life. I think we sometimes have a tendency to drive a wedge between those two. My financial life is over here and my spiritual life is over here, but these two are intimately connected. Jesus, in his public ministry, spoke more times about money than about any other topic. The Bible as a whole has about 500 verses on prayer. It has about 1,500 verses on finances. Our finances, our giving, is a part of our spiritual life. And so just as the Corinthian church was encouraged in this act of grace, we look to the Word of God to be encouraged as well. Paul begins, "I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." And Paul begins right away to kind of set the stage, saying, you don't need to be rich to be generous. He's going to compare the Corinthian church with these churches in Macedonia. These were churches described as having extreme poverty, and yes, also a wealth of generosity. He says in verse 3, "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord." These churches in Macedonia were willing to be stretched in this part of their life. They gave what they could, and they gave even beyond what they could, out of their abundance of joy in what God had done for them. He says in verse 4, this beautiful language, "begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." Begging for the opportunity to give for the good of others. Like I said, there was a need in the Jerusalem churches, and it appears that need became made aware to other churches. Perhaps, you know, like we do it today, you know, they would send out a letter. We have a need. Well, we got to be sure to send this to the church at Antioch because they're a wealthy church. We got to send this to Ephesus. Got to send this to Corinth. Macedonia? We're just going to skip Macedonia. We know Macedonia. They don't have any money anyway. Macedonia says, please, please, let us be a part of this. Let us be a part of helping out the saints. It'd be as if, you know, someone came to the deacons and said, please let me give. Oh, wouldn't you love that, deacons? Wouldn't you love that? Please let me give. I have so much I want to give to you. That was the churches of Macedonia. Although in extreme poverty, they gave with a wealth of generosity. And he says in verse 5, "and this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us." They gave themselves to the Lord. They were concerned about the things of the Lord. They were concerned about the church of the Lord. This is more than just being concerned about the finances, but I'm sure along with their finances was prayer for these Jerusalem churches, that God would bless them, using their abilities in any way they could to help out brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Macedonian church were givers. They were givers. They were generous. And Paul uses them to encourage the Corinthian church. look, if the Macedonian churches could do this, then certainly you should as well. Look at verse 7. He said, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. And that beautiful phrase, giving as an act of grace, giving out of thanksgiving to God for what he had done for them. And certainly that same encouragement could be given to us as well. God, by his mercy, by his grace, has allowed our church to excel in many ways. Excel in faith, a faith that desires to be fed upon the Word of God Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Excelling in speech, in words of encouragement and comfort and hope for one another. Excelling in knowledge. We think of how many opportunities we have as a church to grow in our knowledge of God. Bible studies for men, Bible studies for women, Bible studies for younger couples, for older couples, for our children, for the adults. We excel by God's grace. He says, and excel in this act of grace also. Excel in generosity. Because he says in verse 8, I say this to you not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. To prove the genuineness of their love. It is true that we often vote with our wallet. If there are things that we approve of in society, we might give a contribution to them. Very often the same happens in church. We tend to vote with our wallet. He says, prove your genuineness. Prove your love for the Lord and your devotion to him by taking on giving as this act of grace. For he says, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. He roots this act of grace, this call to give, not as a matter of law. He says, I do not say this as a command. But I say this because you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he did for you. He would leave the riches of heaven. He would give up those riches for the sake of humanity. He would come down to earth. He would have some of the limitations of humanity. He would be tired. He would be hungry. He would leave the glories of heaven and that intimate fellowship with God and come to earth. And there, be rejected by the crowds, be rejected by the church leaders, be left by his friends, by his disciples. He who was rich, Paul says, became poor for your sake, that by his poverty you might become rich. No, our giving is not a matter of law. It is a matter of grace. We recognize the grace of God given to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we say, how can we respond to that? How can we show our love is genuine for God? And we do that in many ways. One of those is in our giving. Giving as an act of grace, because God has given us everything. He has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take away all of our sins. That is the beauty of the gospel.
He calls you tonight to put your faith in him, to enter into this fellowship with him, that you too might know his grace, and out of love for him, not out of law, out of love for him, also be involved in giving as an act of that grace. Paul gives encouragement to the Corinthian church. Verse 10, "And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have." Apparently, when the need became known, the Corinthian church was ready to give. They were ready to help, even beginning to take an offering. They had a zeal to help others, a readiness to work. But now it's a year later. And somehow, even though they began with this zeal, somehow they never managed to put the check in the mail. The money never got to Jerusalem. They began strong, but then kind of waned in their zeal to help. Paul says, you were ready. Now match that readiness with a completion. Complete the work that you began to do. Match the readiness and your desire with the completion of the task. Giving to God, I don't think there's any of us here tonight who would say, well, we don't want to give to God. But we often say, but I'll start that later. I'll start that maybe when I get a serious job. I'll start giving to God when I get married. I'll start giving to God when I have children. I'll start giving to God when my children are out of school. I'll start giving to God when I retire. And we have all these, a desire. We so often put it off. Paul says, match the desire. Match the readiness to give with the completion of the task. And he says in the end of verse 11 and then 12, he says that your desiring may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And Paul here very simply reminds them of the principle of proportional giving. Give according to what you have. Now, people have different means. People have different positions in life. So Paul says, this principle that began already in the Old Testament, when God called forth from his people a response of love to him and gave them instructions on giving, proportional giving. And the proportion that God gave them was that they were to return to him a tenth of what he had given to them. We call that today tithing. We recognize God gives us everything we have. It all belongs to him. And he asks us to give but a portion back to him. Now, kids, I think the last time I preached on tithing, I probably used this same example, so maybe you'll remember. But imagine, kids, if in my hand I had 10 dimes and I gave you all 10 of those dimes. And I said, all I want you to do is put one in the offering. Oh, that's pretty good. You get 90 cents. Imagine, kids, I had 10 dollar bills, and I gave you all 10 of those. And I said, all I ask you to do is put one back in the offering. That's proportional giving. That's tithing. It's a small portion of everything that we have been given. That principle that out of love we continue to give to God, we continue to tithe to God, continues today. The practice of tithing is never abrogated in the New Testament. There's no text that says stop tithing. Christ himself commends tithing as a good practice. It recognizes, as I said, that we are all blessed differently. But although we are blessed differently, we can all give proportionally according to what we have, not according to what we don't have. And I speak to the young people again. I encourage you to take up this act of grace, to take up this act of grace early in your life. Because, kids, if I give you 10 dimes and ask you to put one in the offering, that doesn't seem like too much. If I give you $10 bills and ask you to put one in the offering, that doesn't seem like so much. But, kids, if I had 10 $100 bills and asked you to put one in the offering, suddenly it seems like so much. And we forget God allows us to keep the 900. We forget that it's the same. It's in proportion to how we've been blessed. Give according to what you have. And he says, not according to what you don't have. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, you know, if I just had more money, then I could tithe. If I just won the lottery, then I could tithe. God doesn't ask us to give on what we don't have, on what he has not given us. But he says, out of love, as an act of grace, give according to what you do have. You have this readiness, you have this desire, now complete it. Complete this act of grace, not as a matter of law, but as a matter of love. Then he concludes, verse 13. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. Now, when Paul brings up this concept of fairness, that one helps the other and the other helps them, he is not suggesting some type of Christian socialism where everyone ends up having the same. In fact, it's very clear from the text because he says, some of you have an abundance and some have a need. We'll help each other. Then the other one has an abundance and you have a need. He's not talking about everyone having the same thing, everything being equal. But what he is talking about is a common and shared willingness to help each other as churches. Your abundance helps them, and then perhaps in the future, their abundance will help you. A common willingness for a sense of equity, a sense of concern, to give in the service of others, to give what we have. If God gives us the ability to have an abundance, to be willing to share that with others in our own federation of churches, in other federations of churches, for people who need help, that there might be this general sense of fairness, this sense of wellness, that all needs might be provided for. He says, as it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left, whoever gathered little had no lack. There was this sense of general equity, that they were concerned about each other's needs. They made sure that all the needs were met. Not that they all had the same thing, but that all needs were met as an act of grace, not as a matter of law. I don't give you a command, Paul says, but giving as an act of grace. And as Paul encouraged the Corinthian church, he encourages us as well, that God might give us a sense of a desire to see all needs met as we have the ability to be generous in our giving, to be genuine in our love for the Lord, to be ready and then to complete that readiness and to promote a sense of fairness and equity, to bring our desire to completion. That's God's encouragement to the Corinthian church. This is encouragement to our church as well. Giving as an act of grace. As you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we do thank you and praise you for the many blessings you provide for us day after day. Truly, O God, everything we have comes from you. You are the giver of all good things. You own all things, and you give us those things to use for your honor and glory. Lord God, as we reflect upon what you've done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, that he would leave the riches of heaven and become poor for our behalf, that we might become rich. May that give us a sense of joy and desire and longing to give more earnestly and more generously to you. Not because it's a law, Lord God, but because of your love for us and because of our love for you. So continue, O God, to grow in us this act of grace. Continue to bless us as we give. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.